You are listening to the weekly message from Woodridge Community Church in Irvine. Our vision as a church is to help all people meet, know, and follow Jesus. Today's message, titled Hitting Bottom and a Humbled Heart, is the third message in the series, Heart Issues, based on the book of Jonah, and is taught by Pastor Frank Winans. For more information, visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org.
Okay, check this out. We're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus mentions what we just saw on the screen. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 39 through 40, Jesus says, and he answered, Jesus answers. He says, a wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jonah chapter 1. We'll read 17 and then cruise into the second chapter. It says, now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. And he said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me, and I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I will shout, but I with the shouts of grateful praise will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. And it says, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. There's a fish story for you this morning, right? Our Father in heaven, we gather in this place this morning. We've left our homes to come to this house, this place of meeting, because we come to meet with you, Lord. It's Sunday morning, God. The end of a long week, the beginning of a next one tomorrow. And we choose, God, this morning to just come and be here. We come, Lord, to worship you this morning in spirit. We come to worship you in truth. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you would walk in our midst again, that you would breathe upon us this morning, that you would open our eyes and open our minds and help us to understand the glories of God. You are alive and you are here. Lord God, walk in our midst today. You are Almighty God. We honor you this morning. And we praise you in Jesus' mighty name. And all those who love God would say what? You all may be seated and good morning. We are in a series of Jonah, Old Testament book of Jonah. We've had an absolute blast. And honestly, as I've been studying the book of Jonah and preparing, preparation for this, we're in chapter 2 today. As I was preparing for this sermon, my heart and my thoughts drifted back to long ago when I was a kid at Biola University. I met a lot of very cool people that all had amazing stories and amazing testimonies of their journey with God. And as I was preparing specifically for this message, I thought of a buddy of mine that I went to school with back then. He was a surf buddy of mine. And one day he told me a story in his life. And his story went something like this. When he was a kid, he was raised in the church. And yet he was just this rebellious kid. So much so that when he was in a Christian high school, he was kicked out for selling drugs, okay? He was a surfer kid living down in like the Dana Point area, and I believe it was like right around his senior year of high school, he was down in Rosarita surfing down in Mexico, deep in Mexico. And they just come back from a beer run. They were buying alcohol down there, and a federality pulled him over with his buddies. And the federality found drugs in their car. And at that time, they were handcuffed, strip searched, and thrown in jail in Mexico. Okay? Now, my buddy, up until that time in his life, he was pretty much telling God, I don't need you, I don't want you, I need you to stay away from me. You know, almost like a dog, stay, I'm going to go live my life. But can you all guess what my buddy did in that jail in Mexico? Do you want to guess what he did? He prayed. He had days of sitting in jail, and he was afraid. And there was no arrogance in him. There was no pride. He was humbled, and he prayed. He prayed. He prayed from the heart, and he was doing business with God. He had willfully rebelled against God. He tried to live life without God. And he had days to reflect on that. And he was kind of coming to the conclusion that this isn't working. Right? How's that working out for you? Not too well. It was one of those watershed moments that happens to us in life. And I was thinking about this week. Have you ever used the term, that's a watershed moment? Definition of a watershed moment is this. Webster's dictionary defines it as this. A time when an important change happens. A crucial dividing point or line or factor. A turning point. It's one of those watershed moments in your life with God, right? Pastor Graham was telling me this week, he says, I think that comes from Moses in Exodus. You know, when God parts the Red Sea, that's a watershedding moment, and you'll never forget these type of moments. You ever had any of these moments in your life? A watershed moment? A time with you and God that just said, this is a changing moment. You ever had these? I've had a few in my life. Just reflecting this last week, thinking about the text we're going to study today, I've had a few watershed moments with my life. One of them was in a junkyard up in Big Bear when I was 19 years old, looking into a car that my friend had died in from a DUI. He was decapitated in this car, and this car was in a junkyard, and I went and looked in this car, and as a man looking at the dried blood of my friend, that was a watershed moment for me. I can still close my eyes and see it. And for me, at that moment, I began to pray. And my prayers, friends, was not, I had no arrogance. I had no pride. I was very humble. I was broken. And I began doing serious prayer with God. Have you ever had a watershed moment with God? Have you ever had one of those where this moment has changed the course of my life? Have you guys had any of these? I'm kind of curious. Raise your hand. Have you had one of these watershed moments, right? Do you know that there's a whole book of the Bible dedicated to this type of discussion, to this type of circumstance? And this, people, it's the book of Jonah. Jonah. We started this last week. We read the first chapter. Jonah is a prophet of God, right? Jonah is God's man. And God tells Jonah, I need you to go to Nineveh because I have a problem. There's a geopolitical situation going on. The Assyrians need to be dealt with. And in my justice and righteousness, I'm coming for them. And I need you to let them know I'm coming for them. So Jonah, in the first chapter, hears God. And it says he runs from the Lord. He believes in God, but he's running from God. You ever met these people? Has that ever been you? Right? So you're supposed to go northeast. He goes west. Jonah hops on a boat. He starts sailing for Tarshish, and now God has two problems, right? He still has the Assyrian Empire to deal with, but now he's got a rebellious prophet. He's got a kid that's going the other direction. So God now has two issues, right? So what's God's options? He can strike him down, right? God can just say, well, to heck with you, I'll go find somebody else. Or God can pursue him. God can pursue him. Hey, parent, what do? When your kids go that way, you pursue them, right? And that's what God does. And in the chapter of last week, we find that God sends calamity upon Jonah's life. And the a big storm hits, so much so that seasoned sailors are scared big time. And they all start praying to their God. These guys are crying out because their life is in danger. And the only person that's not praying in Jonah chapter 1 is who? The man who should have been praying, right? He's downstairs sleeping. And the captain comes down and says, what's your deal, right? Well, hey, you guys, when you're running from God, what are you supposed to pray? I'll tell you what. People that are running from God, the last thing they want to do is pray. Because what are they supposed to pray? I'm either going to align myself with God's heart or I'm not. And Jonah's like, I'm stubborn. I'm not going. I'm actually going to ignore this whole thing's happening, and I'm going to go down and catch some Z's. So the guys upstairs start praying. They start casting lots. They find out, who's bringing this on us? And that's all pointing to Jonah. He comes up, and I love it because he finally admits that it's his fault. He finally tells them who he is. He doesn't say he's not in, I don't believe in God. He says, I believe in the God who creates the heavens and the earth. He believes in God, he just doesn't want to follow him. He's running from him. You ever met these people? Has it ever been you? It's a little bit of Jonah in all of us, maybe, right? This is what we learned from last week, just a quick review. We learned this. Number one, you can't run from God. Newsflash for you? Okay, let me ask you. If you are going to run from God, where do you plan on running to? Where are you going to go that he's not there? He's everywhere. We learned that people that are running from God, they just aren't thinking clearly when they do this. And clearly Jonah just wasn't thinking, I'm going to run from the Lord. Really? When you run from God, you run from your purpose and meaning in life. Here's a newsflash. God created us. You are a created being. And the only way that you're going to find your purpose and meaning in life is to hang out with the one that made you. To run from God is to run from the one that made you. To run from God, you run from the purpose and meaning of your existence. It doesn't work, right? We learned this last week. You can run from God, but you can never outrun God. Because God comes, he's coming for Jonah. You can run, buddy, but you better run fast because I'm going to get you, right? And in this chapter, God gets Jonah. Now, at the end, it says, finally, he goes, guys, it's my fault, throw me in. They're like, we don't want to throw you in. And pretty soon it gets so bad, they're like, dude, if it's you or me, you're going over. And Jonah hits the water. And immediately it says the storm just shuts off like that. What a witness for these guys. Those guys on the boat start praying to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They begin sacrificing to him, and they sail away from Jonah, and there he is floating in the water, right? Do you believe in this story? Chaplain Frank, do you believe, do you really believe in Jonah and the whale? That was a question I had, I don't know, a year or so ago at the PD. Do you really believe in this? Like, how can an intelligent human being actually believe this really happened? Do you believe this really happened? Do you know, if you can believe Genesis 1:1, this is what Genesis 1:1 says. You ready? In the beginning, God created. If you can believe that, you've opened up to a whole new realm of possibilities, right? Now, if I could come to this place, and when I was in my 20s, I came to a realization that I actually believe that I began to believe in the empty tomb in Jerusalem, and I believe that Jesus came up out of the grave. If I could believe that, then I have no problem with this story. I totally believe this story really happened. As a matter of fact, Jesus says this story really happened. And Jesus uses this story as an example of him dying on the cross and being dead for 3 days and coming back to life. Do you believe in that story? If you can believe in that one, then this one's a piece of cake. Do I hear an amen? Now, I keep saying this over and over again. If somebody came up out of the grave, you ought to listen to him, because you haven't. If Jesus came up out of the grave, if he really is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, if he's more than just the miracle man from Galilee that walked on water and raised the lame and the dead and the sick and all that, but he raised himself from the dead, if Jesus can do that, we ought to listen to him. Do I hear an amen? Right? Jesus speaks on this, and he says it really happened. So to me, I believe in it totally. Just thought I'd share that. In Jonah chapter 2, people, a real person named Jonah was running from God, and although he wouldn't pray with the rest of the crew when the storm came, in Jonah chapter 2, he prays. It was a watershed moment in his life. He's floating on the water. He's kind of having one of those, this isn't really working for me. I've tried living life without God, and it's really not doing well. Look where it's got me. I'm now floating in the water. And Jonah begins to pray in the ocean. It's a great prayer, people. It's actually a really good prayer. Because in this prayer, he begins thinking clearly again. Right? In this prayer, he starts having a heart time of prayer with God. Kind of like if you had one in a prayer in Mexico in a jail, or maybe you had one a prayer something like this in a junkyard up in Big Bear, or maybe you had your prayer somewhere in your life, you got one of these prayers going. Here's Jonah's prayer. And by the way, in this prayer, we can learn 5 things about the heart of God from the prophet Jonah's prayer. You ready? Here it comes. Take notes on this. By the way, you can take notes on this. I'd love for you to take notes on this. Just write these down. And people, when you go out to lunch today, talk about these in the growth groups. Join a growth group this week. Talk about this. Because here it comes. You ready? Number one. Take this down. God listens to the prayer, to the cry of a runner. I got great news for you this morning. If you are a runner here today, God hears the prayers and the cries of people running from him. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God, and he said, listen to this, In my distress, who brought on this distress? He did, right? In my distress that I brought on myself, little commentary, I called to the Lord and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help. And he says, and you listen to my cry. I think that's beautiful, don't you? What do we learn about God? Number one. Mark this down. Let it be known. God listens to the prayers, to the cries of people running from him. People, when we live our lives our way and we tell God like a dog, you just stay, right? Leave me alone. And we go off and we get ourselves in a huge mess, right? And those moments when we begin to realize, you know, I don't know if this is really working out for me too well. I want you to get this. You ready? Here it comes. He listens to you. God even then, loves you. Have you ever experienced this type of relationship before? My stepmom, Joyce, wonderful lady. If there was one person that would always forgive you, it was always her. And I remember just growing up as a kid, I had a stepsister that would pull knives on her. And I mean, talk about sin splatters, right? When you sin, it just gets on everybody around you. This happened in our families. I splattered on my family. My stepsister did. And I would always see Joyce always love and always take back. It was a mind-blowing thing for me. And I guess I just learned that's just the love of a mother, I guess, right? I mean, you can just treat them so terribly, and they'll still love you. I want you to remember this one. God's the same way. God is. God will always listen to the prayer of a runner. I think that's phenomenal. Because usually when you talk to runners, and I spend a lot of time with runners, they're always like, oh no, God will never forgive me. God, I mean, I am so bad. I'm this, I'm that. And I just smile and say, man, I got really good news for you. God listens to the prayers of runners. Jonah says in verse 3, you hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. Check this out. Take notes on this. You want to know the heart of God in the midst of all this? Write this down. God is often behind the circumstances that stops the runner. FYI. God is often behind the circumstances that stops the runner. For Jonah, God brought the storm. For Jonah, God brought the fish, right? Why? Why did God do this? To squish him and get him, and I'm going to pay you back? God didn't do this to pay Jonah back. Why did God do this? To what? To bring him back, right? God is many times behind the circumstances of bringing the runner back to himself. For my buddy, you know, God was totally behind the circumstances of him being thrown in jail. That was a huge moment, one of the many's in his life that brought him to a place of hanging up his sneakers and quit running from God. It's funny, when I think about this, I know for a fact God did not kill my friend in that DUI, but God was totally behind the circumstances of making sure I was up there at that time to see that car, to be in the midst of all that, because it was a huge watershed moment in my life. You need to know this as you reflect on your own life, people. Number one, God listens to runners. He hears the prayers and the cries of runners. Number two, God is many times behind the circumstances that stops the runner. And that's a good thing. God isn't in these circumstances to smash him or to get him back, but to bring you back. And that's God. Jonah chapter 2, verses 4 through 7, Jonah says, and I said, so here's his prayer. He goes, man, I've been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threaten me. Have you ever been almost drowned? The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the root of the mountains I sank down, the earth beneath barred me in forever. But he's a prophet. So as he's dying, as he's sinking, as he's feeling his life ebbing away, he's praying. And he says, but you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. I honestly think all of a sudden in the midst of him drowning, all of a sudden this animal engulfs him. I think Jonah sees the great fish as his rescuing taxi. Right? Right? All of a sudden, I'm not drowning anymore. This is a miracle. But you, my Lord, my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, he says, I remembered you. I remembered you. You know what? Put this down. Here's a note for you. Ready? God's discipline is thorough. Do I hear an amen? God's discipline is thorough. As a father, when your heavenly Father, your Creator, disciplines you, there are times when it's a thorough discipline. Proverbs 3, 11 and 12 says this. It says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resist his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he what? He loves. And as a father, the son he delights in." God is a father in heaven and he's disciplining us. And there are times, people, when you just look at the hand of God and you look and go, man, that was thorough. That was thorough. There are times when he'll discipline you one way, and there's a times when he will discipline you thoroughly. Hey, check this out. You ready for this? It did not take 3 days for Jonah to repent. It did not take 3 days for Jonah to repent. He was not floating on the water day one, day two, one of these people. He was already repenting when he admitted in the boat that it's my fault. That's huge, huge. Because let me tell you something, runners don't admit it's their fault. As a pastor, when I talk with people and I look at people, there are so many times they're just stiff-necked and rebellious and they're running from God and they're arrogant. And I'll listen to them and I'll go, man, they're just not ready. Because until they finally admit it's their fault, and runners never admit it's their fault. People running from God never admits it's their fault. Guess whose fault it is? It's their parents. It's their friends. It's their dog. My dog ate the... Finish the sentence. It was my dog. We never admit it, people. We are truly our ancestors' kids. Because look at Adam. What did Adam tell God? It's Eve. It's you. You gave her to me. It's your fault. What does Eve do? Does she own it? It's the serpent, right? I mean, like, this is so a part of our DNA, people, and it's inside of you big time. Do you own what you did? Do you own your own behavior? Do you do that, or do you blame other people? Because I'm telling you straight up, people who quit running are people that finally stop and go, oh, it was me. I did it. It's my fault. It's very rare to hear this from people. When you do, when I hear it, I'm like, okay, they're close. Jonah on the boat, he owns it. He tells them in the first chapter, hey, guys, just want to let you know, this is my fault. Though he hasn't prayed to God yet, he's still admitting to everyone else that he's owning it. Great job, right? So they huck him in the water. Is he there 3 days going, I'm not good? Not at all. I think he was repenting the moment he hit the water. 3 days. 3 days. It didn't take Jonah 3 days to repent. I believe his repentance was immediate. But understand this. But God was very thorough with Jonah. People, God loves us enough sometimes to scar us so we'll never forget. Did you hear me? Sometimes God loves you so much he'll scar you in this one so you'll never forget. Write this down. You want to know the heart of God? God listens to runners when they're running. He hears their cries, man. God sometimes is behind the circumstances of a runner putting up his shoes or her shoes. And write this one down. God's discipline, when it comes, there are times when it's just thorough. And that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. Because he's doing this not to get us back, but to what? to bring us back, right? Now, I love this because as I read this next section, I'm just hearing it's like he's back, man. It's like the prophet is finally back in his right thinking. The prophet is finally at a place of going, all right, you're God. Okay, I can't really run from you. I'm figuring this out. Okay, I'm in the water. This is a little scary. I think I'm going to die. Oh, wait, no, maybe not. Oh, well, what am I in? This is kind of interesting, right? And listen to what he says. He's beginning to praise God. He's praising God. You can know when a runner has really quit running is when they actually can worship God and quit blaming God. Jonah says this, those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. This is a good Jew praying, right? 2,700 years ago. But I, with the shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I like that. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. You know, do you think that verse vowed is surprising there? I'm not surprised at that verse at all. Are you? Have you ever noticed that people, when they're done running from God and they're just thankful, they're like, God, I make vows to you. Maybe these are those foxhole vows that soldiers have in, you know, in the wars. God, if you get me out of here, I'll live my rest. You know, people make vows when they're in the belly of the beast. People make vows when they're close to death. And here is this godly man, Jonah. He's a prophet, people. He just had a little lapse of character. And we can so quickly grab a stone and say, what a knucklehead. But then we begin to realize there's a little of Jonah in you and me too, right? And then we give him a little bit of grace. But he's back. He's back. He's begun to remember this again. Write this down. Here's a great note. You ready? To run from God. Jonah remembers this. He's back. To run from God is to run from provision and protection and purpose. When Jonah's running from God, he has none of this. But now he's beginning to remember it again. To run from God is to run from provision for your life and protection for your life, from the purpose of your life. To run from God is foolishness, and you can't do it anyway, because wherever you run to, he's already there anyway, right? Jonah's remembering this. He's back, right? He's thinking clearly again. He ran from God, but now he's running back to God. Freedom and purpose is not out there. It's in here. And the one who wrote this. If you got nothing else, get this one this morning. You ready? Freedom is not out there. It is not out there. Freedom is not out there. Your purpose and meaning in life is not out there. It's in here. It's in the one who wrote this. Now, do I hear an amen? Amen? Am I right? Have you guys figured this out? Is this just a cognitive amen, or has this become an experiential in your life, right? Jonah could just preach that. Hey, man, it's not out there. It's in here. He's back. He's back. Jonah has tried living life without God. And it didn't work out too well. You ever been there? Has it ever happened to you? Is this a part of your story? You know what, people? Jonah is like an Old Testament prodigal son. You remember this story? Jesus, the great rabbi, the great teacher, the Messiah, the promised one, walks on the earth, the fullness of deity dwelling in human flesh. If there's an individual that understands prodigals, it's Jesus. And I almost wonder if Jesus is even thinking of Jonah, right? Is he speaks on prodigals. There's a story. Jesus says there was his father one day, and he had two sons. One day, one of his sons decides, I don't want to follow you anymore, Dad. I don't even want to be with you anymore, Dad. And I'd like my inheritance, and yet you're not dead yet, so could you just give it to me anyway? Is that insulting? Hey, Dad, I wish you were dead so I could have my inheritance. But you're not, so can I have it anyway? Would that flatter you, Dads? Jesus in the parable says, son, here you go. And the kid goes off, and what does he do? He walks away from God, and he goes, lives his life the way he wants to. And it says that he lived for quite a while because his dad had given him a lot. But then a severe famine hit the land, right? And this good Jewish kid loses all his money, and with all his money goes all his party friends, and pretty soon he's in the dumps. So much so that he's in a far-off country feeding what? Pigs. Okay, guys, just, that's not kosher. The whole time that I was in Israel, I did not once have bacon-wrapped shrimp for the whole 2 weeks I was in Israel. Because they don't sell it there. It's not good. In the parable, Jesus, he's Jewish. He tells a story and he says, this dude's like feeding pigs. And not only is he feeding pigs, what's this guy beginning to eat because he's so hungry? Pig food. And one day, I love it. And Jesus says, and one day he came to his senses. I have that underlined in my Bible. He came to his senses. I love that verse. Jesus says, one day he began thinking clearly again. Like, this isn't working, right? I'm running from God. It's not really working out too well for me. Like, you wake up one day and you're like washing your underwear in a sink in a bathroom in some country, you know, and you don't have money to even buy detergent, and you're like, I think I need to go home, right? So he goes back, right? Now, how does God receive him? God hears the prayers of the runner, right? Jesus acknowledges it. Jonah is the classic Old Testament prodigal son, but he comes to his senses. When you read this chapter, you begin to read the heart of God and who God is. Do you want to know who God is? He loves you. He pursues you. He'll never let go. He'll listen to your prayers even when you've pulled a knife on him or flicked him off or told him to get away. Or treat him like a dog and told him to stay. He still is there because he's a father. What do we learn from Jonah's prayer? He hears the prayers of runners. He's behind the circumstance. Many times he's behind the circumstance of the runner coming home. Write this down, dude. He's thorough. He's God. There are times when he'll crush you. He might even scar you. And that's just because he loves you. We learn again, Jonah figures it out, man, to run from God's just stupid. And yet God is greater than our stupidity, right? Luke 15, verse 17, when he came to his senses, Jesus said, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And I'm here starving to death. I like that. That's good. May we all come to our senses, people, right? Jonah comes to his senses in the water, in the oceans. And this is what it says, Jonah 2:10. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. What that must have looked like. Did you notice that down at Trestles we had a whale wash up on the beach? You guys read about that a few weeks ago? Oof. Surfers are out there and all of a sudden they're like, whoa, that's big. And it just goes right on this dead whale. And it's funny, if you looked at the pictures in the Orange County Register, everybody was doing this. Because as that thing was decaying, it stunk. Well, that's one thing. Imagine, I don't even know how this was supposed to look. This huge fish comes up, right? Maybe there's like 2,000, maybe the surfers weren't in Hawaii, maybe they're down like by Joppa or something, I don't know. Because you can surf in Israel, right there in Caesarea, there's waves. And all of a sudden, now it comes this, whoa, he's not dead. And all of a sudden, did it have a sound to it? I don't know, but all of a sudden, now it washes Jonah. What must he have looked like? Can you imagine what he smelled like? Have this ever been, has that ever happened to you? How about when you've been running from God? How did that make you look? Almost wonder, right? But he's back. And here's a great one. You ready? And when it's all said and done, it's like, okay, Jonah, we good? Jonah, you and me good? Yeah, Lord. It starts at Jonah chapter 1. Jonah, go to Nineveh. No. We good? We're good, Lord. What does God tell Jonah to do? Go to Nineveh. Right? Did you know that God's a God of second chances? That's beautiful. Ask Peter all about this. We were just at this great beach. It's the beach where Peter denied Christ 3 times, and Jesus is walking on this beach with Peter in Galilee. It's one of many people that go on this trip to Israel with us. When they're walking on this beach, we teach about this, and then we say, hey, man, why don't you go for a walk? Because on this beach, Jesus asked Peter 3 times, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? By the 3rd time, Peter breaks down because he's figuring out what he's doing. I denied him 3 times, and he's making me publicly confess him 3 times. And when he's done, after every one, he says, feed my sheep, tend my lambs, take care of my flock. God is a God of second chances. Just ask Peter. Just ask Abraham. Hey, Abraham. He blew it. Do y'all know that? How about Moses? Did Moses get a second chance? Hey, you're going to be that. Well, okay. He kills the Egyptian. Not a good plan. It wasn't in God's will and God's way and God's time. Second chances. King David gets second chances. Second chances. Jacob was even given a limp so he couldn't run anymore. God's a God of second chances. Do you want to know the heart of God this morning? Then know him. Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God. Do you know God? This is the heart of God. Meet the heart of God in the 2nd chapter of Jonah. God is a God of second chances. In Jonah chapter 2, Jonah gets to the end of himself. He hits bottom. He hits the belly, people. He tried life without God and found it just wasn't working out too well. Have you ever been there? In your story, what was your big fish experience? Did you have a jail experience or a junkyard experience? What was it that brought you to your watershed moments? That would be a great discussion this week. When you look at your life, what was the circumstances that God used to bring you to your senses? That's a great discussion this week. You have to pull back on the stick, and this was 2 weeks ago. Why do we as human beings do this? Why do we run from God? What's wrong with us? Why do we do this? Have you ever tried to ask yourself that question? It's because our hearts are broken, people. Our hearts are bent toward evil. We're prone to deceit. But I got great news this morning. You can run from God, but you can't outrun him. He's faster than you. And God has sent his Holy Spirit in all of our lives. God has sent his Holy Spirit into our hearts. And the Holy Spirit does heart transplant work. In Ezekiel 11:19, it says this, and we'll close with this. It's in the Old Testament, so it's a prophet. It's a promise that God one day, though he realizes the heart of man is broken and fallen and prone to deceit and bent toward evil, we have issues, people. God knows this. But God says, before Jesus came, these words in Ezekiel, he says, I will give them an undivided heart. And I will put a new spirit in them. That means born again. Jesus spoke of this with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Unless the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. You are a spiritual being, and God is a spiritual being. And when you say yes to Jesus, at that moment it says that the Holy Spirit comes inside of your life, and God doesn't just dwell with you externally, but internally. It's a very mystical and glorious thing. The Spirit of God comes inside of you. And here's the great news. The Spirit of God's expertise is repairing hearts. Don't fight him. Don't fight him. Embrace him. The Spirit of God is in your life. If you've said yes to Jesus and you've accepted what Jesus did on the cross for you, be it if you were 4 years old or 20 years old, at that moment, the Bible says, after hearing the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you are sealed in the Holy Spirit of promise, the promised Holy Spirit of Ezekiel, and he dwells in you. And now that the Spirit of God dwells in you, don't fight him. Don't run from him. Embrace him, right? I'm going to ask the worship team to come up here, and we're going to sing a really great song. This song is called Oceans, and I swear Jonah wrote this song. In this song, you could hear the prayer of a person crying out to God, and in the midst of it all, you'll hear the presence of the Holy Spirit. And as we sing this song, I want you just to enjoy it and pray this song. Maybe you can reflect on your own life and your own spiritual journey where you've had your times of coming back to God, and maybe you could just embrace this song as you sing it. Now, I want to say this. If you're here this morning, the Bible says, if you're here this morning and you need prayer, then ask for the leaders of the church to come up and pray for you. And I'm going to ask for my wife to come up here. I'm going to ask for Mike and Pat to come in, Pastor Vince, Mary Beth, and you guys to come up, Pastor Graham. We are here for you guys, and I just invite you guys to come up. Here's the deal. I know that probably you've got some good stuff going on in your lives. You might have come here this morning, and you're going, man, life stinks. That's cool. Maybe this week you got bad news. You lost a job. Or maybe your kids just gave you the finger. I don't know. Maybe you just found out you had cancer this week. Maybe you're here today and you're just hurting. If you need a touch from the Almighty God, then you come up here and we'll pray with you. And we'll pray for the Almighty to work in your life. We've seen God do miracles in this church. He's here, people. He's here. God is in this room. The compassion of the Almighty God is in this room right now. His glory is in this place. The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout this room that he might strongly support those whose hearts are his. God sees you, people. He loves you. If you're here today and you're a runner and you're done running, come on up here. Let the Lord know. You need power this week. A fresh blowing of the Holy Spirit in your life, you come up here. We'll pray for you because the Lord is here. The Bible says we receive not because we ask not. Let that not be so in your case.
Couldn't run from his presence. I couldn't run from his arms. Jesus, he loves me, he loves me, he is for me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves me, he is for me. It was a fire deep in my soul. I'll never be the same. I stepped out of the dark and into the light. When he called my name, I couldn't run from his presence. I couldn't run from his arms. Jesus, he loves me, he loves me, he is for me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves me, he is for me. He holds the stars and he holds my heart, with healing hands that bear the scars. The rugged cross where he died for me, my only hope, my everything. Jesus, he loves me, he loves me, he is for me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves me, he is for me. He loves me, he loves me, he is for me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves me, he is for me.
You guys stand with us this morning. Can we sing that again? Just I want you to sing this. Sing the chorus of this song right now. Just close your eyes. Stir this in. You ready? Here it comes.
Jesus, he loves me, he loves me, he is for me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves me, he is for. Jesus, he loves me, he loves me, he is for me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves me, he is for me.
Amen. Father in heaven, thank you for loving us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you have restored us to you through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that our sins will never be counted against us, because what you have done through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, thank you that there is indeed no greater love than one would lay down his life for his friends. Jesus, it's an honor to be called your friend. It's an honor to be loved by you. It's an honor to be a part of your kingdom. Jesus, thank you that you've not left us as orphans. Thank you, Jesus, that you've sent us your Spirit. Lord, may power be upon our lives this week. Would you fill us, Holy Spirit, with the power that we might be able to proclaim the gospel of Jesus this week? Lord, help us to be witnesses of your kingdom through our lives and through our actions. Lord, you know our hearts. We just humbly worship you today. And we love you back. Maybe that's why we come this morning, Lord, to tell you we love you back. And we want you just to teach us more about who you are and who we are in your sight. May the peace of the Lord Jesus be upon your lives this week. May the glory of the Lord be upon you this week. May you not be afraid this week. May you find courage and strength this week. May God give you the power to love those that are unlovable. May Jesus give you the courage to look people in the eye this week and love them when they don't love you back. May Jesus give you power this week to be kind and tender-hearted and forgiving other people as God has forgiven you. May God teach you men in here this week how to be a man of God this week, to walk in truth and righteousness and justice. May God teach us as parents this week how to love our kids and to train them in the ways of the Lord. Lord, help us to love our neighbors, pray for our enemies. The Lord bless us this day. This we pray in Jesus' name. And for whose glory we pray? For His glory, right? Amen.
Thank you for listening to Woodridge Community Church's weekly podcast. If you would like more information about our current series or to hear past messages, please visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org. There you can learn about how we can help you meet, know, and follow Jesus.